for the podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5. Exit 216. If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Hey, all guys, right. It's Friday, and yes, we're naked today.
What?
No backup?
Yes, we are.
Well, also, we don't have any backup music or nothing. No intro. Well, we got a little intro. We got our normal intro, but no... I forgot my shit. I smoked a lot of nicotine vapor on the way over.
This is episode 664.
Dude, two more episodes going to hell.
I know.
Going straight to hell. So that'll be a hump day episode. If everything pans out correctly, things have been weird around the studio here lately, and coming and going and getting here when we can. I drove a lot of miles. I drove 300 miles to get here. No, not to get here. But since last night, I went to the coast. We drove to the coast, and I did my comedy gig at the casino.
A mini tour?
It was a mini vacay.
A two-show tour?
My wife called it a working vacay. Yeah, because we got a free room. And they got a deal. You know, they got those tethered club cards for all the old people or whoever goes there a lot. And so you rack up points every time you gamble or whatever. And anytime you buy food there, it's dollar for dollar. And their deal is to get you to sign up. Okay, the last casino we were at, it was sign up for free. And we preload your card with $5 that you can play on any slot.
Awesome. Wow.
This one is sign up for free and we'll cover up to $100 of your losses. Today only.
That's fucking pretty damn good.
Yeah, but the losses are covered with coupons to come back and gamble. But you get to gamble that money a second time. You have to come clear back. I said, I'll get booked there again. I believe I'm on a good basis with Tom Howard.
That's a weird thing, though, because, I mean, you know, any winnings,
yeah, and
then you play those off first, right?
Well,
like if you won $20...
Well, it's just your total. Like, if you put in 20 in one machine and pull out 30 and then go, it keeps track of all your gambling. So if you, in that one 24-hour period, if you lose up to $100 and you're not in the black, you're in the red, then they will mail you the exact amount that you lost in coupons, vouchers to play on the slots, which is... That made it feel better that my wife and I lost $70.
Yeah, but still, you know, that's pretty cool.
Dude, we gambled for a long-ass time, and she used her card the first day, and, like, for some reason, we weren't having very good luck. That happens sometimes, and so we're looking at her points, and it's like, not very many points. It's like, God, it takes a long time to get points. Then we played today on a Flaming Sevens machine, which is pretty fun, a penny machine. We played for, like, an hour on $20, and then all of a sudden, I had, like, 2,500 points.
Nice.
Which seemed like a lot. We went to the gift shop and we got like $7 worth of merchandise for our points that we racked up while we're there. And plus, we'll be getting our money back. Well, we'll get to go gamble some more.
You know, it's a good thing, too, is you save up your points and you get like a milkshake.
I could have got a milkshake for $6.
Yeah.
They have like 3 cafes and a restaurant. And the place that I was doing my comedy was a bar called Warehouse 101. Holds about, I counted all the tables at 4. People at table, it ended up being like 120 capacity place. And the 7 o'clock show, there was not one seat empty and there was a couple people standing. So it was awesome. And surprisingly enough,
standing room only.
Yeah. And I wasn't even really that nervous. And they were a great crowd. The first 7 o'clock crowd was awesome. The guy that I did a show with, he was the headliner. His name was Mark G. Never got his full last name. It's just G.
Wiz. His last name is Wiz.
It was probably Gernafalakadapada, because, well, he was a black dude, so maybe it was...
Wiz.
With a G?
G Wiz.
Mark G Wiz. Okay, yeah. And he had just returned from Japan. He's a touring comic who does a lot of comedy clubs and colleges, and he just got back from entertaining the Marine troops over there in Japan. And... he was really light-skinned. He kind of almost looked like Tiger Woods' complexion, and there wasn't a black dude in the building. So I'm sure he felt that, because I noticed it, and I'm white. So you think he probably noticed, you know?
Yeah, and then all the white people were noticing it, too.
Oh, you know that they had to. He mentioned himself. He's like, some lady said something about, well, are you Asian? Because he said he'd been in Japan. He's like, I'm not that type of Negro. lady. So he kept calling it Negro.
Uh-huh.
And I was telling Dustin earlier that the second show was way cold. The audience was not very receptive to the comedy. And I'm not going to blame that on myself. It was them. They were the problem. Because then the guy got up there.
He should change his name to Mark Cheese Whiz.
Mark G Whiz.
Cheese Whiz.
Cheese Whiz.
Yeah.
So he starts his set with some crowd work. The first set, he was doing crowd work, and everybody was like, he'd ask him if they were married, or what's your name, sir, mm-hmm. or what kind of work do you do? And he was pretty good at it. I was kind of impressed. So then I left.
Finger up your ass.
Exactly. Why are you sitting there with your thumb in your vagina right now? Mm-hmm. I know you think I can't see it, but I can. Get that thing out of there. No, and so like he tried doing that the second set, and people wouldn't even respond. He's like, "Hi, sir, what's your name?" And he's like, "I don't have a name." And he looked like a Coos Bay Red Nickerson to me.
Yeah.
And he was not. And then he asked the lady that was with him, "Are you guys married? Is that your husband?" And she just shook her head and didn't even speak.
I wonder if they had just lost a bunch of money, though.
That could have been.
Or maybe there was a daily drawing that happened.
I guess because of the fact that he was...
The horse didn't win.
The only black person in the room, that I just thought that's what it was. It felt like racial tension.
That wasn't in the first show you said,
though.
No,
but there was a whole different crowd.
Yeah.
The only three people that I saw that were there were fans of his, and he thanked him during the second set for sticking around for an hour or half hour. Or no, it'd be an hour to see his second set because there's a half hour in between. I do a half hour, he does an hour, and then there's a half hour break, and then I do the half hour, and he does an hour. No host. The sound guy says, "All right, everybody," which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start saying it at Denny's. "Please put your cell phones on vibrate, and please keep your table conversations to a minimum, and no heckling in the comics." This is he just basically lays out the rules just like they do at a comedy club, and everybody kind of says, "Oh, okay, we're here, this is what we have to do." And then he announced me, and then when I got done with my set, I say, "All right, you guys ready for your headliner? All right, all the way from Japan." I don't even know his last name.
Wow.
But fantastic.
Have last names in Japan.
Well, he's not Japanese. He's not that kind of Negro, sir. So, yeah, it was a fun time had by all. My wife was on a little bit of a down because she likes to win when she gambles, and she stated today that she doesn't like gambling at casinos. She just likes to gamble at taverns sometimes. And I think it's funny when you see people playing the regular video poker machines that are in taverns, like the Flush Fortune and just the regular video poker without the – there was a ton of people playing those. I was like, we could go to any bar anywhere and play those. Why aren't they playing Wheel of Fortune or Ferris Bueller's
bigger
Day
Off? There's jackpots on them there, too.
Dude, Ghostbusters. I think,
the Oregon ones, the state ones, don't typically have the jackpots.
They've got some big-ass fucking digital screen fucking... I saw some at Lincoln City.
I like playing the game show ones, like the Wheel Monopoly.
Of Fortune. Yeah, we looked at that. But Wheel of Fortune's fun because once you get... You're just waiting to spin that wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that 1,000 credits.
Yeah.
Dana played a dollar machine like a fucking maniac.
What? That's insaneless.
And then you got to bet 3 credits to get the wheel spin. So she was like $3. $3. 9 spins later, $0. Yep. She's like, "Oh." That's what did it to her. When she lost $27 in 1 minute, she was like, "Fuck this. Let's go to the hot tub." I was like, "Okay."
Yeah.
You can't lose money at the hot tub.
Yeah, that gets spendy when you're going at that rate. But, sometimes, what if you stop right afterwards, whatever.
Yeah, we stopped, and I wanted to make her feel better, and I was like, "But look, baby, I got paid like $150, so, and we got a free room. It's a free vacation. We got to play video poker for like 3 hours for free, basically."
Mm-hmm.
Just cut my pay down a little bit, and I'm, not to sound like an amateur, but I'm not used to getting paid that much money. That was awesome, and I want to do it more. Tom was really cool. I went to his house. Poor Tom Howard. He's, strung up on the couch. His back, I guess he had back surgery not too long ago, and said he was good for a few days, and then he said he tried to get up today and he couldn't even walk.
Wow.
But he's getting up there. He's like 60.
Mm-hmm.
He's been putting around this world for a while, but I've heard stories, and he paid me right when he said cash money. I thought I was going to get a check. Some people say, "He'll give you a check," and say, "Don't cash until Monday." He didn't say anything like that. He was totally cool. Got a nice house, Corvette, Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
Like a nice house, dude. Go Tom. That's why I'm in comedy right now, so I can be fucking Tom Howard. Well, I don't want to be fucking him, but he doesn't even like white dudes for fucking. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing. I got a crick in my neck from sleeping on a weird pillow. I need my Tempur-Pedic pillow.
You get a water pillow. It goes with a water bed.
Oh, yeah, but my hair is sharp. Try to water pillow.
Are you a porcupine?
Yeah, I just poke a fucking porcupine hole right in my pillow.
Did you ever watch that show Fringe?
No, but I've heard a lot of people talk about it. I was right on the fringe of watching it.
That thing is weirder than weird. Yeah. Dude, they go off the rails, man.
It's a crazy train.
It's crazy train.
Right on.
There's there's the one universe, and then there's the same people in the other universe. But some of them, they have different hair color, and some of them. And they all leap between universes to work with each other.
Oh, it's that sci-fi?
And then there's like, and then there's another universe that's in the future because all time happens at the same time, and there's these guys that watch every single event in
that
the history
reminds me
of time.
That reminds me of that fucked up episode of the 4400 where fucking dude wakes up and there was no 4400. And then like he was married to some chick and his son was a doctor, and then they went 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then they woke up and said that,
and then it was like
it was just a dream. Yep. It was all just your imagination. But then they met each other and said, do you remember? Yeah, that was a good 8 years.
Yeah, and then they both dreamed it.
You want to fuck anyway? And then the son has to say, so you guys are telling me you've lived together for 8 years in some weird fucking parallel universe? And they're like, yeah, basically that's what it is. You can believe it or not, but...
That show gets pretty deep, huh?
Yeah, and every once in a while it'll get a little lowly.
Yeah.
And I'll go, eh. And I'll just kind of watch it as background because they usually do a pretty good job of, like, if you miss 5 minutes of it somewhere, they'll say, previously on the 4400. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I get into it and I'll watch a whole episode and then I'll fast forward past the previously on and just go, I want to see, get a little Jonesy on it. But yeah, it's a pretty good show. I kind of enjoy it. The 4400. I can't believe, I remember hearing about it, but,
I don't remember the 4400 ever hearing much about it when it was on TV.
I heard something about it.
It was really weird, too. Sometimes it got kind of a religious-y overtone-age.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not like, you know, like any certain values or whatever, but almost just like a theological theories. Of creation and why we are who we are. And
do you have some kind of piece of glass that we could use?
I do.
I forgot to say that when we started the show. I've got this stuff right here and I don't have anything to do with it. But, what else is happening? Talk to the lady about the Oregon's Last Comedian Standing because I'm going to try to do screenings in Eugene and Albany. And I asked her, if I do Thursday in Eugene and I make it in, can I still do Albany just because I have a lot of friends that said they were going to come to it? And she said, oh, yeah, you can totally do that. And then weirdest quote I've ever had in a message or an email from Jennifer Meyer, from anybody for that matter, she said, you're a true chap, Terry. That's what I love about you. I haven't responded yet because I'm fucking obliterating.
Oh, you know what I would say?
I'm a true chap?
You know what I would say?
I need some help. What did you say?
I would say, do you like chapstick on your lips?
I'll just text her back, hey, do you like chapstick? Do you like true chapstick? She's like, I don't get it. I said, do you like chapstick on your lips? She'd be like, what? It's like, what are you, gay chap? What are you, a lady who likes my penis in your mouth?
Or maybe she thinks you're like
English?
A singular... pair of leather pants for a biker. Pants.
Maybe I should say something about assless. So just because I only have one leg doesn't mean that I'm half assless, all right, for my chaps. No, I think that I looked back on my email that I sent her to see why would she say such a thing.
Maybe she just likes the word.
I just said, to be honest, I guess I might have said to be honest, so I guess I was being a true chap. Mm-hmm. I said, if I make it in on Thursday... can I still do Friday because Is that allowed? Because she had sent a message saying that there was an overwhelming response, and then she did the oops, forgot to erase everybody's CCs, and now I have like 80 comics emails. So now I know, except for the people who are like, too cool at Yahoo. I don't know who that is, but a lot of people use their name, you know. Like, so yeah. Now I got a little bit of idea of some of the Portland comics that are going to be joining in. But she said the Friday night Eugene screening is like too full, and if you don't make it in on the Thursday Eugene screening, you might want to think about going to Albany. So,
is the Albany one going to be at Denny's?
Riley's. Riley's next Friday, a week from today. So next on the 7th. And I'm just, I don't know, maybe a lot of the people from Portland will come down for that one because it's closer than Eugene.
But you can enter into multiple ones then, right?
Yeah, well, it said if you don't make it into one, you can try as many times as you can try, you know, like.
Yeah, as long as they got space. I guess they'd take the reserve spots first, right? I think
the one in Bend is the same night as the one, a couple of them on the same nights. Bend and one of the Eugene nights is the same, and then the Albany and one of the Eugene nights is the same because there's two Eugene nights, and then there's a Grants Pass and a Medford, which is weird. Oh, I also noticed in the 4400 they made up, and I think it's a fake place, Granite Pass, Oregon. Remember that? There was a scene, and they brought it up on the computer, and it said Granite Pass. Now maybe
on what? On the 4400?
Yeah. Maybe there is a Granite Pass, but it's so close to Grants Pass, the sound, I just thought maybe...
They might have just embellished.
Yeah, it would be weird, though, why they wouldn't use... Since they're supposed to be based in Seattle and whatnot, but...
Yeah. Have you finished the whole thing?
No. I think... Is it three seasons?
Four.
Okay, I'm almost...
But the first one's, like, only six episodes
or something. I think I'm almost done with two. I don't know how far I got.
It's kind of cool. There's usually, like, for those kind of shows, an elaborate wiki of all the characters online or whatever,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I was watching some weird movie in the motel last night on the HBO, and I caught it like right after it started, so I never knew the name of it. Mm-hmm. And I noticed it had Val Kilmer in it and had who I thought was Gabriel Byrne, and I'm still pretty sure it was, but I didn't see his name at the end of the credits, so I Googled Val Kilmer Gabriel Byrne movie, and it came up with this movie called Played from 2006, and it had some... Mark Rossi or something like that, and some other actors in it that were in the movie that I was watching, and I was like, oh, this must be called Played. And then I started to read the plot on the Wikipedia, and I was like, this isn't this movie. And then I Googled it again, and there's a movie called 222, which is my address.
Ooh, that'd be spooky.
Yeah, it was a heist movie. It was pretty good, though. It had Val Kilmer playing this really like methed out jeweler. Mm-hmm. It would recut diamonds for gangsters, and he had all these grown...
Heat?
No, it was called 222. And they had grown men in diapers and just their underwear.
Why were they groaning?
Because they were having to work in their underwear. It was like a sweatshop, and it was mostly overweight dudes. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like you see like those drug manufacturers in Thailand or wherever where all the ladies are naked because they don't want them to steal none of the shit. Mm-hmm. Ever seen scenes like that from movies? Yeah. It was like that, but it was all fat, naked guys, and they were like cutting jewelry or some shit. It was fucking surreal,
that's
dude.
Weird.
And it was just a small little like five. I think he had 2 5-minute parts as Val Kilmer, but he was like listed as one of the stars. But it was
like Alan Arkin in that newer movie he did where he was only in it for like 10 minutes before he died.
Dude, Burt Wonderstone was on last guys. Night too. Oh yeah.
Burt Wonderstone.
I watched the last half of that again because I didn't turn the channel.
Yeah.
Dana was like, what's this? Because she kind of likes Steve Carell. And it was at the point where Buscemi wasn't in it for a while during the middle part. And so, but I
it's kind of funny, but you know, it's when it was, I think I said on that, it probably should have been a mini series so they could have done more with the characters.
I like the fact that
those are all great character actors.
I like the fact that Gandolfini was in it. That was like one of his last roles, I think, before he passed away. Right. But, yeah, I liked the forgot that big trick at the end where they made the whole audience disappear.
Yeah.
And then they wake up. It's like, how could they even do that? I was like, okay, we're going to explain it to you. It's awesome. So, yeah, it is Friday, so don't forget to come out to Denny's tonight.
You know, Granite is a city in Oregon.
Oregon?
But not Granite Falls.
Granite Pass.
Granite Pass.
So they took them and they mixed them together.
Mm-hmm. Granite is a... is in Grant County. It has a population of 38 people.
Whoa. On the thing, it said Granite.
They raised 14 people in 10 years.
It said Granite Pass, population 230. Hmm. So it was supposed to be a small town. That's smaller than Halsey.
Yeah.
Or even Shedd, I think. Yes, I don't know. I think after this next batch of vapor from my vapor pen, I'm going to just go no nicotine because it's pretty tasty, and I don't think I need the nicotine. I think it's more the act. It's more the act. Well, I don't have my music, but I got a story here about the crazy Floridians. And
all right.
Dustin said, why they got to be so crazy?
Why?
So this is actually kind of sad, but it's also crazy. So this dude, like, had something go wrong with him, and he had to have, like, surgery, and there were complications, and his heart stopped, and he, like, went into a coma. Yeah. He was in a coma for, like, 6 days. And then his longtime friend and drinking buddy went into the hospital and said, hey, I'm his stepbrother, and mm-hmm. we've decided that we want to take him off the life support system. And they just said, oh, all right. And they didn't even check to see if it was actually his family or not. And they just fucking took him off the life support system. And then, come to find out, his stepbrother, who was actually his longtime friend and drinking buddy, was the beneficiary on his life insurance and collected $106,000.
Wow.
Then he went to dude's house and, like, stole $6,000 worth of stuff. Well, then the guy who died's son sued the hospital because, you know, you'd think the hospital would have to have some form of responsibility. It's like you go into the bar, and if they don't ask for your ID and something happens, or you're underage, it's the bar's liability, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it should be the hospital should at least... Could we see some ID that you're actually family before we just kill the dude? It's only been six days. I mean, people have been in comas for years.
Yeah.
So the son tries to sue the hospital.
You think you'd have to have some way to show that you're the actual power of attorney or whatever.
Yeah, they didn't even they didn't say, well, you're not his friend and you're not just trying to get the insurance money? Because, no, and so they threw the son's lawsuit out on a technicality.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was ordered to pay back the $6,000 that he stole from the guy's house, but they said because he was the beneficiary when the patient died, that he is entitled to that money until there's any charges against him. So,
But then he'd have to pay it back if he was then.
Yeah, I'd probably wait to start spending the money or invest it to where you have a return. And that way, when you get out of prison, you know, things won't be so bad. But yeah, that's all I got for crazy Floridians. But that is just so ruthless. If anybody's listening and wants to chime in, you can go to our website, tagcastpodcast.com, leave us a message about it.
Yeah.
What would you do? You know, say your dad, this kid's dad was in a coma, and his dad's buddy just went to the hospital and said, I'm his stepbrother. You can just take him off there. We're not going to keep him alive
anymore. Yeah, that ain't cool.
And then the kids, I bet, fuck, man, I would have a hard time not hunting that dude down. Then you got to think, you know, maybe ask the doctors.
Where was he, though, when the decision, when didn't anybody, didn't,
I don't
wasn't
know
there
if
every
lived...
time that he was trying to probably fight the hospital for, like, hey, don't be, you know, or was
something,
he convinced as well that the guy had the power of attorney or
maybe
whatever?
The guy just went in there when there was no visitors.
And then once they found out who the money was going to, you know.
I'm sure they have to feel like they fucked up.
Yeah, well, for sure.
It's like the wrong leg surgeries or the wrong limb surgeries. There's like 120 a year.
That's the whole premise of the Fringe thing, though, is the one guy couldn't save his son from a disease, and so he went into another universe and kidnapped his own son, who is still had the disease over there, and was able to cure him, but he was in the wrong timeline then.
Ah.
So how would you deal with, like, your son dies and then you go to another alternate universe to steal their son to steal the son from yourself and your wife from over in that universe? So they have theirs. You have your son kidnapped, like, in a parallel universe,
right?
But it's actually you that did it to bring it over, and then you have the added guilt of, like, taking it from them on that universe, but it's not even pertinent because you're not in that universe.
That's right. It makes it a whole, whatever we're talking about, a a paradox.
Yeah.
It's paradoxical. I was listening to our old buddy Chris Castles the other day on a he was on a podcast.
What up, Chris?
He was on a podcast from Austin.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, well, he was talking about the tsunami that he lived through. But
was it too tsunami?
It was too tsunami to talk about, yeah. Made me kind of miss him, just hearing his voice, because he was talking and he was telling kind of some of his jokes here and there. And oh, yeah, and speaking of that, I don't know if any of the listeners tuned in, but I got to be on the Donkey Show on Tuesday, and they actually let me speak a few words. And
awesome, dude.
I got to tell the story about when I got a DUI on a bike, and that I hit, or I don't think I told them. Oh, yeah, I did. I told them that I hit up the tree, and... because they were talking about something in that vein, but I told him that it really freaked the judge out because he didn't Monte Carlo bicycle. He thought it was a car, and I said, no, it's a 10-speed. Marcus is all, yeah, the Chevy wasn't making the 10-speed transmissions in the Monte Carlos. But, and then I got some people that messaged me on Facebook saying, you got a buoy? You got a DUI on a bicycle? That's hilarious.
Nice.
So, yeah, I think there were some people listening. They get out there. Yeah, it was fun times. They said they're going to have me back.
Have you ever heard of Lou Stone?
Lou? I had a Lou Stone. It was a gallstone.
I was loose.
Fell right. We went past a place called the Loose Caboose on our way over to the casino.
What was that all about? Did you stop in there?
It was Curiosities and Collectibles.
Ooh,
so
I
we just kept driving to the Loose Caboose to sell anal rings. No, who's Lou? Lou, what's his name?
Lou Stone.
Lou Stone. Oh, yeah. Lou Gallstone.
He was a journalist. He created... hundreds of fanciful articles.
Fanciful? Fanciful?
Yeah, I think he was,
I just heard that
word.
I think
he was a liar.
I just heard the word fanciful. You don't hear
fanciful
that
feast.
Dude, you don't hear that word a lot.
No, I just don't. With cats. Fanciful feats.
I was on my feasts. Way here to the podcast, and I was listening to Derek Sheen's Holy Drivel, the comedy CD, and he said fanciful. He was talking about Portland, because they have a lot of fanciful things there.
Portland is fanciful.
He said they have a strip club that is vegan, and it's pirate-themed. Take that, Seattle! Okay, go. Lou Stone.
He wrote unusual stories in his paper. He lived in Winsted all his life. Winsted, Connecticut. And he wrote for the evening paper there. And at the age of 20, he wrote a story about a wild man who had been spotted in the woods outside of town.
Sasquatch.
But all they ever found was a stray jackass after they investigated.
Maybe that's what Sasquatch was all the time.
And then, and then after that, he continued to send out weekly reports about bizarre animals and plants around the area.
Huh.
And, kind of put his own town on the map, but this is some of the stories that he told, or that he reported on. A chicken that lay red, white, and blue eggs every 4th of July. Do you think?
No.
A tree that grew baked apples.
That's not, it can't happen.
A bashful cow raised on a farm owned by two guys whom no man ever visited. When the cow was sold, she refused herself to be milked by a man unless she was dressed in women's clothing.
I can understand that. But those other things, fucking shut up. Not you.
A farmer who plucked his chickens with a vacuum cleaner.
Could have used a Flobee.
Dude, yeah, that would work. A cow that was locked in an ice house and produced ice cream for 2 weeks.
I don't believe that. Is these all supposed to be true?
He put these as news stories that he found around the area that he lived.
Yeah, I think this guy was on some good drugs.
A cow that was so shaken by a garage explosion that she produced butter.
Churned her right up.
Yep.
I don't know about that, dude.
What about a tame squirrel that used his tail to shine his owner's boots each morning?
I could see that. You know, squirrels are pretty smart. Cats are smart.
A cow that ate radishes and produced burning milk. I think that could happen, probably.
Oh, no, dude.
If you fed him enough radishes, he would have weird milk, I would think.
You would think.
A windstorm that blew a sheet of paper into a typewriter and type the alphabet backwards.
Come on. Come on.
A Maltese cat with a hare lip that whistled Yankee Doodle.
They're not getting any better.
And a farmer who lost his watch and found it 7 years later in the stomach of one of his cows after he had killed it. The watch was still running because the cow's stomach muscles had kept it wound, though it was a minute and a half slow.
I don't believe it. Is this guy still alive?
No, he died in 1933.
Oh, well, shit.
This was like 1895 he's writing this stuff.
Okay. Well, see, people would believe shit like that back then because that was right when news first started coming around.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the first president had a maid because they're like, what's a president? We don't still even know what the president's job is, because you imagine how easy George Washington had it? He's the first president. He's setting the precedent for the president.
I know, he did.
It's like, what do I do? I do whatever I do because I'm the fucking first president. It's like, could you imagine, like, campaign ads back then? The mudslinging campaigns? George Washington is running for president. But what's a president?
I'll look it up.
I watched the crazy
movie. I wonder if he had buttons.
I don't know. Of course he did. I've seen pictures. So, yeah, I watched like three movies on the hotel cable last night, because I guess that's what you do after you do a comedy show.
Groundhog's Day.
No, I watched a show called Mr. Nice.
No more. Watching that movie.
It was weird at first, and then I figured out what it was about. It was about this real dude who was the largest global cannabis smuggler in the late 1960s, the early 80s. And it was weird because it was in London and stuff, and he was smuggling big bricks of hash and stuff, and he was like eating hash like candy bars and shit. It was, well, not like shit, but he had a good line. I guess he became a stand-up comedian later because he's a true life story from the 60s. Came out to the sold-out crowd, and he says, are there any plainclothes police officers in the audience tonight? I went, no. He's like, lights up a joint. He's like, where's all my dope smokers? Everybody's like, ah. So I've never heard of the guy. I guess his name was something, Howard Marks.
Oh, I remember that guy. He sang that one song in the 80s.
No, that was his son, Richard.
Oh.
And he had more than one.
What about his brother, Carl?
Karl Marx was, he's very,
he was a redneck.
He was. He spent a lot of time in the sun.
Did you know that the United States presidential election of 1788?
Was that the first one?
Yep.
Who was running against George Washington?
I don't know if anyone was running before him, but he was.
Well, not before
him. He was unanimously elected.
Oh.
And then John Adams became the first vice president. But back then, it was the guy who got the most votes was president, and the guy who got the second most votes was vice president.
So it wasn't a package deal.
Huh. No, I don't even think it was that way in like until maybe the 50s.
Well, you'd think, though, if he had to get the most votes, then someone had to. Oh, maybe it was just those two running against each other, and the one that won got to be president, and the one that came in second.
Yep. Yeah, each elector back then cast votes for two people. Hmm. And then the majority was the president, and then the runner-up was vice president. Yeah, that might have changed in 1804, maybe. I don't know.
Huh. This is a history lesson for you kids today.
Mm-hmm.
In case you didn't know what was up. Now you know what's up. I learned some history this week of the...
He ran pretty much unopposed, though, in that first election.
Yeah. I learned some stuff about the Coquille Indians.
Oh, you're going to get all Coquille on us.
Yeah, and their...
Coquille O'Neill.
Their gift shop was called Coquille, but it was K-O with a line over it, and then a dash, and then K-W-E-L.
Hmm.
Coquille. I guess you must say Coquille, because that's how it looked phonetically. But who am I to know anything? Oh, it looks like I accidentally pocket texted Jeff Simpson.
Huh? What'd you tell him?
Well, first he said, hey, you sounded cool on the radio today, and those guys like you, but that can't hurt. See you on Friday, and blah, blah, blah. I said, thanks, buddy, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, I said Myth Central, which is CTRL. Myth CTRL, capital NM, CNN, period. And then, whatever, how do you pronounce NVGJ? NVGJ, Bull, NJJ, hi, B. So, Myth Central, New Mexico, CNN, NAVGJ, Buell, NJ, hi, B. If you're listening, Jeff, that was a message I sent you. I don't know why you didn't reply. Somehow this message...
Get back to me now.
This message has been locked for some reason. I didn't do it. Mm. Whoever sent that message apparently does not want it to be deleted. I'm going to unlock the message now. Message is unlocked.
In the 60s, I think it became the practice of the principal candidate in presidential elections to announce his preferred choice of running mate.
Huh.
At the national convention.
Well, I didn't pay much attention in school when it came to the history shit. I just studied what was going to be on the test and filled out my homework.
Yep. But Washington ran unopposed both times, and then in the third election, it was John Adams versus Thomas Jefferson.
Huh.
And, yeah, that happened back then when Aaron Burr and, Thomas Jefferson had their thing going on.
Hmm.
Aaron Burr, he shot somebody, didn't he?
Oh, I don't recognize that name.
Aaron Burr?
Aaron Burr.
Aaron Burr shot that one dude.
He did?
Yeah.
What did he do? I don't know. Maybe I'm just...
One of the guys who ran in the third election, his name was Charles Colesworth Pinckney.
Whoa.
Pinckney.
Huh.
Aaron Burr was a U.S. senator from New York, and he shot that guy, and it was that one... Remember that commercial with the guy he ate a fucking something or other, and somebody was on the radio, they could win $1 million, and the answer is Aaron Burr, and he kept going, oh, because his mouth was full of a Twinkie or something.
Wait, let me get it straight. That one guy that did something or other on somewhere... And then he wanted to say, now, is that in a movie or what? Dude, I'm totally lost. I don't know.
No, that was a commercial that they played for fucking years, dude.
Oh.
Alexander Hamilton, that's who he killed.
Oh, he's on the $10 bill, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah, he shot him in a duel.
What is a president doing having a duel anyway?
Dude, if something challenges you, do you do?
Dude, what if I challenge Obama to a duel?
Yeah, so
he's got a duel?
Yeah.
Well, what the fuck? You think the Secret Service wouldn't have his back?
People dueled all the time back then, dude. But it rarely killed you because you just fired one shot. That's all you had.
Usually you grazed the hip or something.
Yeah, or you wouldn't even hit him.
You just get
one shot.
And you're lucky like you I missed, live. But I definitely drew first.
Yeah,
he drew first and shot.
Yep.
Well, that's crazy, dude. I didn't know the presidents were ever allowed to duel.
Yeah, well, he was a vice president at the time, I think.
Oh. So, vice presidents is okay.
They went to a popular dueling ground and agreed to take the duel to Weehawken because although dueling had been prohibited in both states they lived in.
Why don't they have dueling grounds still?
I don't know, they might.
I'm going to be in a place called a stooling ground.
Where
you just go there and shit. Yep. Dude, we saw like 70, not 70, maybe 17.
Hits?
17 elk. Like in the elk viewing area. Like it's not even fenced in, but they just hang out there. It's over there on Highway 38 in between somewhere and somewhere. There's a lot of elks, dude. It was weird. There were some with big, huge racks that you probably couldn't even fit inside my car. Huge, dude. I'm
That's
scared.
Big rack.
Big rack. It's a big rack. I got a fucking crack. A crick. There's lots of cricks out there, too, and I got one in my neck right now. My neck back. I'm fucking sore. I'm going to complain for a while.
Prevent being prosecuted.
For dueling?
Well, because you couldn't witness a duel. You know, you wanted to have plausible deniability. So the pistols were even transported to the island in a boat that enabled the rowers to have their backs to the pistols so they could say that they never even saw the pistols.
You had to go to an island to duel?
That was the popular dueling ground.
Then we could just throw
the Hudson River.
We're going to Dueling Island.
All first hand accounts of the duel agree that two shots were fired. However, Hamilton and Burr's seconds disagreed on the intervening time between the shots.
Because if it's okay,
it was common for both principals in a duel to fire a shot at the ground to exemplify courage, and then the duel could come to an end.
Yeah, because we went through with it. We take 10 paces and turn around and shoot into the ground.
Yeah.
All missed.
Mm-hmm.
Good duel,
and
sir.
And then Hamilton apparently fired first and into the air, though it is not much clear whether this was intentional.
Or that when he got hit, he's like, pow!
Chirp, chirp, chirp. Burr returned fire and hit Hamilton in the lower abdomen above the right hip.
Hamilton in the abdomen.
Ricocheted off his second or third false rib, fracturing it.
False?
Mm-hmm, he had a false rib.
Wooden rib?
Mm-hmm. And caused a lot of damage to his liver. And it enlarged in his lumbar vertebrae.
So do you suppose...
He immediately dropped his pistol and Burr moved towards him. And it seemed like Burr might have regretted the move.
Does Aaron Burr get charged with attempted murder of a vice president? Because if dueling was legal for presidents and vice presidents...
That's why they went to the Hawiken.
Oh, so that's like an exempt mm-hmm. area? Okay. I was going to say, John Wilkes Booth could have just said, oh, we were dueling, but fucking Lincoln forgot.
Yeah.
I just dueled him out.
Yep. Yeah, and that was the thing, too, in Lyndon... Barry Lyndon, that Stanley Kubrick movie.
Yeah.
When the guy shot his... They dueled and they shot him into the ground. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Yeah, and then Hamilton died the next day and they put him on the $10 bill.
So he was never president then.
Yeah, but Burr was charged with murder, but he never went to trial.
You know who else is on a bill that's not a president?
George Patton.
What bill's he on?
Bill Leon? Who's Bill Leon?
I said, what Bill Leon? it's fucking Franklin, dude, from Charlie Brown.
I'm Bill Leon.
Franklin and Friends. No, Benjamin Franklin was never a president.
Bill Leon, man. He's a great blues guy.
Bill Leon. Who's Bill Leon? hey, this is weird. I'm just going to say it because it's not a commercial for cricket, but I had 4 lines on my cricket account, and it was $186 a month for 4 lines. That's less than $50. Not bad, right?
Yeah.
They have a deal now where you go five lines, $100. So for adding a line to my fucking plan, I save $86 a month. So we got a phone for our other son, Brandon, and we said, here, have this phone and use it. And he said, I can't really pay for this. And we're like, no, you're saving us $80 by mm-hmm. having this phone. And he's like, how am I saving you $80 by having a phone? I'm like, I don't know. That's just how it works. So anybody with multiple lines on cricket, don't let them take advantage of you any longer. You do 3 lines, $136. Two lines.
Yeah, go ahead and get your 4 extra phones.
Just get 2 extra phones. Keep one in the car. Keep one in the house. Fucking, yeah. You can reach me on any of my cell phones. I got 40 of them.
You could use one for prank calling people.
You could. Oh, dude, there's a site called prankdial.com.
Mm-hmm.
They got Don Frost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a pre-recorded message that leaves blank spots that kind of work out pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a taxi driver one where it said, hey, yo, this is Yellow Taxi Company, and you stiffed me on the ride the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes taxis, too. So he's like, no, I don't think I did. And he's like, oh, don't try to deny it because I got your name and stuff. I know where you live. And he's like, he argued with him for like a minute with a pre-recorded message. And he's a pranker himself, so he got punked. It was awesome. Also, speaking of local and former local comedians, I always got to talk about Ron Funches. He's going to be on Bob's Burgers.
Nice.
They're going to make a little cartoon Funches.
Right on. I like Bob's Burgers, man.
I don't know if he's going to play Ron Funches.
You probably don't even watch it, do you?
No, I got it. I do. But I haven't watched enough. I've watched about 3 episodes, but I have the entire catalog on my wife's, except for the new ones. We got 2 seasons out, I think.
No, they're like on 3 or something.
Well, it started, 2010. I keep thinking it's fucking Robot City 2014.
I know, dude. Fucking time flies when you're podcasting.
I know. We're 268 episodes, something, 264 episodes. That's cool.
I'll watch that Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, he said he got to see what his cartoon image looks like, and he was really, really pleased, he said, or something right like that. So, yeah, good job, Funches. You're making it. You've made it.
You think he smokes Chesterfields?
No. He just smokes Weedsterfields.
All right.
He
on.
Likes to smoke lots of weed. And I hate to be stereotypical, but he probably smokes menthols. If he smoked cigarettes.
My friend Jerry smokes menthols.
Jerry O?
Yeah.
Is he black?
No.
Oh. Is he white?
Yeah.
Is he not white? Remember, that's the new race, not white.
You know, in the fall of 34, 1934, not 2034. I guess that's possible now, huh?
You quoting Jackson Brown songs now?
There was a rumor that went through America that there was a leper working at the Chesterfield cigarette factory. And sales of the cigarettes plummeted. People thought they were going to catch the disease.
Huh. Was leprosy contagious?
I don't know.
You know what I think of when I hear Chesterfields? I've never seen a pack of Chesterfields. I don't know if they even still make them, do they?
I don't know if they still make them.
I heard of them in the 70s in the infamous Blues Brothers cover of one of those songs. He says, "You want to walk a mile for a camel? Or you want to be like Mr. Chesterfield and satisfy?"
Yep.
So, yeah, John Belushi. Oh, yeah, and we haven't had a show recording since the loss of one of our great comic geniuses. Can't go without missing
Nelson Mandela.
Dun, dun, dun. Egon, but not forgotten.
Yep.
I watched Ghostbusters this minute I heard.
I know. I was watching him in Mission Impossible 3 the other day.
Oh, he's in that?
No, wait. That's Philip Seymour Hoffman.
No, I'm talking about Harold Ramis.
I know.
Ramis. He was a genius. He wrote a lot more than I thought.
He was a genuine genius.
He used Bill Murray for most of his vehicles. He was in Stripes. He sang Doo-Wah Diddy, I think, with those guys when they were trying to teach him.
Yep.
And Ghostbusters, of course.
Yep.
I think he did some of those. But anyway, he did a lot of stuff, and you guys know him. You love him. And rest in peace, Egon. Yeah. Egon!
He did a lot of movies.
It's like, that's a big Twinkie.
Yep. They're still going to do the Ghostbusters 3.
Really?
Yep. He did a Groundhog's Day was one that he wrote. Yep.
There was a bunch of others. I almost thought this was 40, but no, that's Judd Apatow.
Yep.
Yep. All right, we don't got no background music. If Hans doesn't get too upset, maybe Gatch can put some music behind it.
Be-be-de-be-de-be-do.
What's in Hans's CD player? Find out, and we'll find out. They were playing a lot of disco in the casino, like in the gambling area.
Yeah,
a lot of Casey and the Sunshine Band, just like Earth, Wind, and Fire. I don't know what channel they had it on. It must have been
on that Fringe show. They went to the future 2036, and they had elevator music playing over everything, and it was a Muzak version of Eyes Without a Face.
I love Billy Idol. I almost said Joel.
It's a great fucking Muzak song, though. Really,
you know that Billy Idol and Billy Joel are only two letters difference.
No, that is
and
weird.
I and J are really close to H-I-J. H-I-J.
Jidle.
Joel. Billy Joel. Billy Jidle. Okay, so I did not hear any black metal at the casino, nor did I see any black people. but Hans listened to some what I call black metal, and they're kind of like the Hot Topic band for black metal. That's a hint for Gatch to guess the black metal, Hot Topic black metal band. Sorry, Hans. I know they're not Hot Topic, but they do. Slayer's a Hot Topic band, so it's okay. And here's another hint. Something that a baby sleeps in that's really dirty.
A shit crib?
That's it! Shit crib! He's listening to Shit Crib, actually also known in America as Cradle of Filth.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The Shit Crib. I love that, dude.
That is kind of like,
Shit Crib. He's listening to the Principle of Evil Made Flesh by Cradle of Filth, and their sister band Shit Crib has an album called The Vice Principle of Evil Is Made Into Shit. Rock it, fellas. That's what he said. So we're rocking it, Hans. Thanks for listening, buddy. Thanks for keeping us up and running.
Yeah,
I don't
thank
like
you.
I don't like running that much because
here's some films that Harold Ramis wrote.
Okay,
Year One.
Hey, Jack, Mike Cera.
Analyze that.
Billy Crystal
in this.
Right, Robert De Niro. This is a test for me to see if I can tell who's in these movies. I'm doing two for two so far.
Caddyshack 2.
Oh, Bill Murray. I can mean Chevy Chase. Probably both.
Armed and Dangerous.
Oh, Eugene Levy and fucking John Candy?
Yep.
Bam!
Club Paradise.
Oh, what is it?
Club Paradise.
Robin Williams?
I can't see the names on that one. Back to School.
Oh, no.
It's a classic. Back to School, Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, yeah.
Stripes, Caddyshack.
Bill, Murray.
Meatballs.
Murray, Bill.
Animal House.
Meat Dogs 2.
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl?
Yep.
I thought that was a game.
He wrote it, a TV movie documentary, 1976. He also wrote TV looks at the Academy Awards.
It looks like I'm going to smoke a Super Bowl. in honor of Harold Ramis.
Well, he did not star in it, though.
Well, he wasn't in a lot of those movies that he wrote.
No, he was only acted in 23 movies.
He didn't do What About Bob, did he?
No.
Because that was not as good as his movies.
No, but it was a funny vehicle for that one. He starred in such movies as Stripes, Heavy Metal.
Heavy Metal? You mean he was a voice in Heavy Metal?
Yeah, he was Zeke.
Oh, awesome.
And I'm going to watch that one. He was a car salesman.
Oh, did you know that he was the original person to write the fucking first National Lampoon's Vacation, too?
Yep.
Who is it?
Thought we were going to have... He was a guy in Airheads. I like that movie. That's a funny movie.
Adam Sandler, Steve Buscemi.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a brain of a fucking elephant, dude, I tell you.
Not, he was in Knocked Up, Orange County, Walk Hard.
He was in Knocked Up? Didn't he write Knocked Up?
No, I didn't see him in the writing of Knocked Up. He might have produced it. Here's some movies he's produced. Joffrey, Mavericks of American Dance.
Never heard of it.
That's a documentary.
It's a Joffrementary.
My Suicide, I Want Someone to Eat Cheese With. Remember that movie?
Nope. Oh, yeah, Jeff.
Executive producer.
Jeff,
Yep.
That guy, looking a bull wrong. A big old bull wrong.
I was watching, Garland, he also Jeff produced Garland. Multiplicity.
Ah, fucking Michael Keaton?
Yep.
Damn, I can't even fucking believe myself right now.
Yep.
These movies I haven't seen, but I know who's in them because I'm a fucking media attention payer. Except for stuff I don't like.
He directed 4 episodes of The Office.
I love that show. That had Michael fucking Scott in it.
Yep. And Bedazzled.
Ooh, check this out. Brendan Fraser.
No.
Damn, dude. I can't believe myself. I never saw that movie.
Stuart Saves His Family. He produced that movie.
And you know why I remember Bedazzled? Because one time, a long time ago when that movie came out, he hosted Saturday Night Live and they said,
2000.
Fuck, dude. That was 14 years ago.
Yep.
I haven't seen a repeat of that SNL, so that's a 14-year memory right there. Boom.
Elizabeth H. was also in that movie. My phone doesn't list the whole name.
You know who she is, though.
It also says Brendan Fur.
Fur? He must have had a Twinkie stuffed in his mouth.
Did you watch the movie?
The movie? Which
one?
The Bedazzled?
Early. Yeah.
No, I didn't. That's why I was so surprised that I remembered, because he said, I got him in a new movie called Bedazzled, and I just thought that that was a really odd movie name, especially when at the time. Brendan Fraser was also...
the dolphin song in that movie.
Because it was just a couple years before that he was in Airheads.
Yep. He also wrote Weatherman, the song, in Groundhog's Day.
I thought you were going to say that movie with Nicolas Cage.
He played himself in 53 different movies.
What?
Including Cleaning Up the Town, Remembering Ghostbusters.
Dude, he's a cameo motherfucker.
He's probably in every, he was in a TV documentary, Greatest Ever 80s Movies.
They're making a movie about America's
top greatest films in 10 classic genres.
They're making a movie about Dennis Rodman. Who do you think should play him? Denzel Washington or Eddie Murphy on platform?
Stewart.
He's too white.
Dude. Yeah, but white chicks.
Yeah. There's those. there are white chicks. Careful of that green crack.
I was looking at this, a list the other day of celebrity twins and sibling lookalikes. And they had them on there. They had fucking Marlon and the other twins. I was like, I don't even really look alike, do they?
No. Well, depends on if you're racist.
Yeah, but one has dreads and the other one doesn't.
They all look alike.
How many Wayans were there?
Wayans were there. How many Wayans were there?
There was
Damon.
Damon.
Marlon.
Yeah. Marlon. Keenan Ivory.
Keenan Ivory and the other one that's with Damon in all the movies.
Marlon.
And there was a Kim.
Marlon.
No, Marlon. What? Oh, yeah. Marlon.
But I think you said Marlon.
Okay, you got. No, Damon.
You know, Marlon and Marlon Perkins, they looked alike.
Damon and Marlon and the fucking David.
Jenny from the block.
David Alan Greer. No.
Whatever happened to that guy?
He was just at the Baghdad Theater about 8 months ago in Portland. And Sean Wayans, yeah. So he just was on Gotham Comedy Live not too long ago hosting that show. Who also was on there was Janine Garofalo. Do you like her?
Janine Garofalo.
Weird
I don't hate her.
She had notes on her stool.
Sick.
Like she made note. She like put little
stool paper.
She put little music notes on her turds. No, and she was saying 9 minutes. How can I do 9 minutes? She's like, I can't even do one joke in 9 minutes. It's not funny or whatever, but it was just weird. So then I didn't.
So she said that for 9 minutes?
Pretty much. No, she looked at her notes and said some things, and so I didn't care. I took a tiny little note on the stage and just set it on the stool with my drink, and then I made everybody forget because I took their picture. And 9 times out of 10, when I take a picture of the audience before I start my set, there's at least one douchebag that's going with his arm up in the air. Sorry, you're not a douchebag, Daniel. I know. Daniel Caceres, he did that at the Donk Gong Comedy. He'll be tonight at Denny's with me and Isaac Paris and a guest set from Jason Eifler. And maybe some Joe Parra action.
Nice.
Bring some diversity into Denny's, meaning that he's black.
What's your favorite Ben Stiller movie?
Man, there's a lot. There's a ton, dude. It's hard for me to guess. You know one I watched that I had kind of forgot that is a good one? It's called Flirting with Disaster.
That was the one I kind of busted him out, wasn't it?
Kinda, yeah. And it was just that just kind of exemplified his characteristic of a...
You know that guy's huge now, too, the director, David O. Russell. He's the guy that did American Hustle and that other one. Yeah,
that are blockbusters now.
Yeah.
But I really loved Envy a lot.
They were roommates at that time when they were working on that Flirting with Disaster movie.
Huh. I think Envy's up there in top five, and even though they got a little big and were kind of, I don't know, like Meet the Parents more than Meet the Fockers, but he's just in. So
Something About Mary.
I don't think it'd make my top five. It's okay, but it's just a little too cornball-y for me.
He played Dainty in Empire of the Sun.
Whoa.
That was his first
That's
role.
That's fucking weird.
He was in Reality Bites. He directed.
It was all right.
The Cable Guy he directed.
Yeah.
He was that Permanent Midnight movie.
Oh, there's another one I watched recently that I really enjoyed. Called
Mystery Men.
The Watch. Which was him and Vince Vaughn. It was pretty good.
Yep. The Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a good one. Didn't that have Gene Hackman and Owen Wilson, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm fucking blowing my own mind right now with a fucking hairdryer.
He played himself in Pauly Shore's Dead and Run Ronnie Run.
Whoa.
Yep.
I want to rewatch that.
Dodgeball was another big movie.
Oh, yeah.
Envy.
You know, they got some dodgeball teams around here in the Albany area right now, and some of our friends are playing dodgeball.
Did you know that Envy, in which he played Tim Dingman?
Yep.
He was nominated for the Golden Raspberry Award for Worst Actor.
Oh, I liked the movie. I was a big Jack Black fan at the time, too, but that might have something to do with it. But he's not a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
Same with, two red lighters. Same with Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
He just kind of is himself. He's funny.
He just went in front of Capitol Hill.
I heard that.
Buzz.
Did you hear the funny thing that he said first?
Yeah.
Yeah, about marijuana legalization.
Yeah, that he wasn't there for it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say there was quite a few woos in Coos Bay for the marijuana. When I started talking about marijuana, everybody's like, woo. And Kiss, too. They like Kiss there.
Nice.
I was like, fucking woo Kiss. Yeah, you can woo Kiss. Woo it up. Woo.
What about Night at the Museum?
No. I didn't hate it, like you said about another one. Mm-hmm. My wife enjoyed that a lot. And when I can watch a movie with my wife and she enjoys it, mm-hmm. it makes me enjoy it more. But it might not have made my top five. I haven't got five yet, though. I got, what did I say? I said Envy, Meet the Fuckers.
He was in Tenacious D, kind of.
Well, yeah, he said, I'm talking
School for Scoundrels.
I'm talking
Tropic
like
Thunder.
Main starring role, you know. Mm-hmm. Like him and Jack Black were kind of dual starring role. But
that Greenberg movie.
That was weird. That wasn't really a comedy. It was pretty good, though. It wasn't bad.
He seems to be a regular in these Madagascar movies.
A lot of voiceover stuff. He probably does a lot of children's movies, I bet,
mm-hmm.
just because his voice is known. He's one of those guys that when you hear him talk, you don't have to see him. You're like, hey, that's Ben Stiller.
Oh, Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
I don't know that one.
That's a newer one.
Was he starring in it?
It's from last year. He played Walter Mitty and he directed it. It was like a dramatic movie.
So was Greenberg a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
It was all right. I watched it. I didn't say this is stupid and turn it off. But there were some other movies in the 2000s, I think, with Stiller that I can't remember right now. But
well, he definitely did movies in the 2000s. The Parents was 2000.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Keeping the Faith, The Independent, The Royal Tenenbaums, Zoolander.
Yeah, Zoolander was all right.
Orange County did a cameo. Run, Ronnie, Run kind of was a cameo. He did a lot of cameos. Duplex was a movie.
Yeah, him and
he
Drew
was
Barrymore.
Cameo in Anchorman, and then Starsky and Clutch.
Oh yeah, that was another one where it's him and Owen Wilson.
Along
did a
came
lot.
Poopy.
That was actually pretty funny. That was where they coined the phrase "sharded" by our late great Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And he played himself in Danny Rohn, first time director.
That actually was pretty funny.
It was.
I love Andy Dick. I love Dick.
That was.
That was two separate statements.
He was almost. I wish they would have done that show with him. It was going to be called "I'm with Dick." After that guy did that show, "I'm with Busey."
Careful with that. It's got some Red Rock on top.
Red Rocket on top.
Hey, I don't know if anybody is listening that cares, but if anybody is listening that cares, you should hit us up. Come on our show. We don't mind talking to
each
other.
Yeah, come on, Ben Stiller.
Yeah, Ben, we're going to tag you in this, and hopefully we'll hit up your Twitter.
Yep.
And we'll say, boy, we talked about you so much and how good you are and how you're such an awesome film writer.
You know, Ben Stiller, he played Mr. Furious in that video All Star. You know who did that song?
Smash Mouth, you're an All Star.
Yeah, he played.
On, go, hey.
He played himself in two videos by this band. One video being Rollin' Air Raid Vehicle, and the other Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water.
Rollin' Limp Bizkit, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. I remember, dude, because if fucking Fred Durst pulls up and fucking Ben Stiller sitting on a bench. He's all, hey, Red Cap. He called him Red Cap, and I thought that was awesome. And I used that for a while. Thanks, Bill. Because he's always had that red cap on backwards. He hops out of the car. He's like, whoa.
He played P. Diddy's neighbor in this video called Bad Boy for Life.
He peed in his neighbor?
Yeah, it was Sean Combs. And then he was in Tribute. He played himself.
Huh. Tribute. Who's that? Tribute.
Tenacious D.
Oh, in the video. Yeah, the music. Yeah. I forgot we were talking about
and
music.
Then he played himself in a Jack Johnson video.
Ew.
And in that Beastie Boys long video. And a video by the guy Travis. Is that a band?
Yes. They're about as good as Wilco.
Oh.
I went to school with a guy named Travis Wilco. Apparently he started two bands that both suck but get paid big. No, I don't know. Like Pearl Jam talks highly of Travis. I don't know if that's one of the dudes in the band or if they're just like, hey, let's be cool and call our band some guy's name.
I know. I wonder, is anybody in that band named Travis?
That's what I'm thinking. Probably not. That's why if we start a band every
maybe year, it's Randy Travis.
If we start a band, we'll just call it like Aaron. Or Pete. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Pete. And they're like, which one's Pete? None of us, man. That's the name of our band. Don't be stupid. Fucking idiot.
You would be surprised that they don't have any Travis in their band.
I'm not surprised.
They're
whatsoever.
From Scotland.
Ah, Travis probably means something over there. Like, oh.
Travis are a British post-Brit pop alternative rock band.
And you know why Travis...
With a chick singer Fran Healy and a guy named Doogie.
Travis Tritt always has to use his full name because otherwise it's a travesty.
They've twice been awarded Best Band at the Brit Awards.
Oh, they're fucking Brits then.
They are often credited for having paved the way for such bands as Coldplay.
Ooh! Nickelback. Keen. K-A-N-N with a K. Yeah, I know that band. They fucking suck, dude. I saw them on Saturday Night Live one time and I turned the channel.
The guy Coldplay's Chris Martin, you know that crappy guy?
I turned the channel on that one, too.
He says that Travis invented Coldplay.
Oh, good. Then I could imagine they're probably pretty shitty. We'll have a Coldplay band.
The band named themselves after the Harry Dean Stanton character, Travis Henderson, from the movie Paris, Texas.
Now, that's funny that you mentioned Harry and Henderson, because as soon as you said Harry, I thought you were going to say Harry and the Hendersons. And before the thought got completely through my brain, you said Henderson. Fucking tripped me the fuck out, dude.
You'll know Harry Dean Stanton from...
oh, I know him.
Movies
Blue Velvet.
Repo Man.
Blue Velvet?
The Green Mile.
Blue Velvet?
The Last Temptation of
Blue
Christ.
Blue Velvet?
I don't know if he was, probably was in Blue Velvet.
Dean Stockwell. I'm getting him confused with Harry Dean Stanton.
Yeah.
Was Harry Dean Stanton in Blue Velvet or not? I'm freaking out.
What movie was, year was...
Was Dean Stockwell
what year
in
was
Blue
that movie coming out?
Ooh, like 86, 85, somewhere around there.
No, in 86 he was doing... Oh, maybe he was, because he was in Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me.
Yeah.
He was in Red Dawn.
It was some dude
was in the Care Bears movie.
You know those lights from like a mechanic that has the little cage?
Like in The Mechanics, yeah.
It has a little cage on it with a light and you can hang it on shit. That kind of looks like an old school microphone, you know? And so he was like singing into that light.
Yeah.
Like it was a microphone. It was weird.
He was in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
Fear and Loathing.
But I don't think he was in that other movie because I don't see it.
No, but it's probably Dean Stockwell.
Dean Stockwell, I'm pretty sure, was in there. But this guy was in Escape from New York, too.
Ah.
He was
Kurt Russell?
In The Heat of the Night. He was in Cool Hand Luke.
What we have here is a failure.
He was in Bonanza.
To communicate.
He was in The Gunslinger. He was in an episode of Rawhide.
Slow down, dude. I can't remember Rawhide.
Tomahawk Trail. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah. I used to walk that.
1957?
Dude, I walked that trail long and hard.
This guy right there. That guy, he's like 90 years old.
Jesus Christ. He was in...
he's Keith Richards.
He should play Keith Richards if he's still alive. He could play Keith Richards.
He is.
When Keith was like 25. Dude was in Big Love. Big Love?
Yeah, he was in Big Love.
I don't know.
He was.
Finished watching that.
He served as a cook on a ship at the Battle of Okinawa.
He acted that, or he was really that?
He was really that.
Oh, man.
He was in multiple episodes of The Adventures of Rin Tin Tin in 1958.
I'm in the dog pound right now.
What is this, the Arsenio Hall show?
Ooh, ooh, ooh. No, we don't get CW at my house. Nor do we listen to country and western.
Dude, Harry and Anderson's a fucking funny movie. You had that one guy in there, you know, I'm talking about.
You listened back to this episode right when you said that and said, Harry Anderson is a funny movie.
It is a funny movie.
No, I thought you said Harry Anderson.
Harry Anderson is a funny guy. I like Harry Anderson,
too. That's what I thought you were going to say, and then you said movie. And
I remember watching a special of his that freaked me out, and it had Dan Larroquette in there, too.
I saw Harry Anderson, I think, on Saturday Night Live the first time doing magic tricks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Harry Anderson.
He was one magic was kind of cool, nightclubby.
Harry and the Andersons.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Anderson and the Hendersons. He's a funny movie. And they found Sasquatch, they thought, again. Turned out to just be an unshaven black man.
So yeah, nobody... Here's something you'll be interested to know. In the Harry and the Hendersons, as the family is driving through the woods.
You say it like the Irma Gerdin. Harry and the Hendersons.
As the family is driving through the woods before hitting Harry with their car, the sun bounces back and forth from high noon to late afternoon.
Huh. Wow. That's interesting.
That movie is 27 years old.
Yeah. Well, what do you know about that? That's an old movie. I wore a shirt that was 27
years old.
More
movies like this would be Dr. Doolittle with Eddie Murphy.
Which has little to do with anything.
Dennis the Menace with Walter Matthau.
I saw him and Jack Cheaper Lemmon.
Cheaper by the Dozen with Steve Martini.
Odd Couple was on last night, too. Change of channel.
Ernest Goes to Camp.
Rest in
Problem
peace.
Child.
Ooh, Jack Ritter.
Yep.
Tripper. Jack Tripper. I just call him Jack
the
Tripper.
The Beverly Hillbillies.
Well, the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just naming
Problem
off.
Problem Child was funny.
Now I want you to go
that
through.
That was 1990.
I want you to go through to listen to the episode and tell me how many movies you named during this episode.
Dude, Jack Warden was in that movie too.
I remember Jack. He always used to. I'd get him confused with another big nose dude from the American Express commercial. Fucking, what was his name? He was in that series with
This House.
No, Michael Douglas with Streets of Sand. Carl Malden.
Oh.
He has a huge nose. Like, he gives Jimmy Durante a run for his money.
You know who else was in Problem Child?
Ha-cha-cha-cha.
Michael Richards.
What?
Yep.
You remember that movie with Michael Richards?
You know who else was in there?
Nope.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Michael Richards was in a movie with Jeff Daniels.
Yeah.
It was, like, called Law and Order or Cease and Desist. Or...
Law and War.
That was when... Harry and Henderson's.
Who are you talking about?
I don't even know, dude.
Gilbert Gottfried or Michael Richards?
Michael Richards and Jeff Daniels have a movie from...
What's it called?
I told you already. I can't remember. It's either called Armed and Dangerous or Cease and Desist or Law and Order.
Oh,
or
something like that.
Some court-based...
Trial and Error.
Yeah, that's it. See, I was on the right track. It was I knew I had...
1997.
It was when Seinfeld was big, and so like they thought, oh, this guy will be a great movie star.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much.
He was just... Also in that movie was Jeff Daniels.
I said that already. I'm going to kill.
And Charlize Theron.
I'm going to kill.
And Rip Torn.
I'm going to kill.
And Jennifer Collagen Lips.
I don't know if that's her real name or not, but I mean, Rip Torn, I don't know if that's his real name or not, but if it is...
I always get him
his
with...
His parents are dicks.
With Rip Taylor or Torn Oliver.
Like, if your last name was Torn and you couldn't decide...
He was born Elmore Rual Torn Jr.
Okay, cool. Rip is just sounds like he tore something, so he's just going to call me Rip.
Yeah.
He was
torn on whether to change his name or not.
They asked...
The family name taken by generations of torn men and bestowed on Elmore by his father, who is also called Rip.
They asked Dierks Bentley if that was his real name, because that's kind of a weird name. It's spelt like Dierks. Mm-hmm. He's a country singer. He said actually his stage name is Dierks Bentley. His real name is Jerks Gently. He was on that stupid show on Bravo with that gay dude, Andy, whatever. Watch What Happens Live or whatever, and I had Elijah Wood and Jerks Gently. It was actually kind of entertaining. He talked about watching the Grateful Dead tripping balls on mushrooms,
mm-hmm.
which at Red Rocks, even that would be fucking awesome. Mm. You ever see those concerts from Red Rocks, Colorado?
No,
you never have.
I've seen like bits because I think Ween played there a couple times.
It's like really awesome.
Yeah,
it's a pretty. It's just a cool outdoor venue.
Mm-hmm.
I aspire to play there one day, but I won't ever.
You know, Rip Torney attended Texas A&M, where he majored in animal husbandry.
Isn't that against the law?
And then he hitchhiked to Hollywood to become so he could buy his own ranch.
I thought you should go to Florida, where animal husbandry is okay. Not only do I fuck my dog, I'm married.
I don't even know
too.
What animal husbandry is.
I don't know either, but it just sounds wrong.
I think it's where you would be in charge of breeding stock.
You got to pay for everything that they do. You got to whatever a husband does, which is not a lot of fucking usually, because people say, you know, once you get married, you don't do so much fucking. You just buy stuff for them.
Well, animal husbandry is the management and care of farm animals by humans for profit, in which genetic qualities and behaviors considered to be advantageous to humans are further developed.
Well,
the term can refer to the practice of selectively breeding and raising livestock to promote desirable traits in animals for utility, sport, pleasure, or research.
Or sport utility vehicles. Well, I think I want to go get me an animal husbandry.
You should.
Or what if you were married to a guy named Dree? This is my animal husbandry. That's called corny on the spot, fucking. I was butt fucking corny on the spot, butt fucking. That's a weird thing right there because it's the corny on the spot. Yeah. That's kind of scary. Jerks Gently. I was making a joke today. Just I'm trying to always hone my comedic talents and then being funny on the fly, so maybe I could do some more crowd work in my set. But said something today and it was funny. The wife didn't think it was that funny, but then I reminded her I was just trying to be funny, because I don't know if I even talked to you about it, but Mike's been having some seizures.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about that.
Okay, he's doing better, but he's still having like little mini seizures, like a couple times a night, where mm-hmm. he'll burr with his wrists and his eyes will kind of. I mean, he doesn't go into a full on seizure,
mm-hmm.
but it's definitely not good, and he can't see his neurologist till the 10th of March. He hasn't played music for a while, and he's like, I was wondering if you wanted to jam, you know, go through some of the victim songs. And I was like, dude, the doctors don't really know what's wrong with you yet, so there's probably a minute chance that, like, extreme loud noises and a exertion of a lot of energy and your heart rate has already been elevated. I'm not trying to discourage him from playing.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I ain't scared to jam. I was like, well, I don't want you to be scared to jam, but I want you to be smart, and I don't want you to overdo it, and I don't want it to send you into a seizure. I said, besides, if you started having a seizure, we would just think you were playing a blast beat, and we would just keep playing,
mm-hmm.
because you'd be like...
Mm-hmm.
And wife's all, that's not funny, Daddy. It's a serious thing. And I was like, I know it's serious, but that's seriously funny. If he went into a seizure during like the fast yep. part on Discontentment, we wouldn't know until we yep. got to the next part. And that's dangerous because we yeah. need to know when it happens.
Pat always looked like he was having
a seizure. If we look back and he's just going, ooh, like, yeah, he's finally got it at the right speed. And then mm-hmm. he just falls off the stool and you're like, Mike, what are you doing, fucker?
You know who Rip Torn's cousin is?
Jean Pocket.
It's a chick, and she has
Jean Pocket,
and her initials are the same.
She's a what? And her initials are the
a
same.
A chick.
Oh, she's a chick. Okay, well, she pretty much gives it a. Rachel Thornton.
Nope. Ricky, Sissy Spacek.
That's not the same as RT.
No, I said her initials are the same.
Oh, but you didn't say they're the... Now, think about it. You'd think they were the same as Rip Torn?
Oh!
Or you didn't say each initial is the same as the other one.
Yeah. Okay, so all right, let's start over then.
Okay, Sissy Spacek.
You're right.
Is that her cousin, you said?
Yep.
Now, I will always think of her as the coal miner's daughter. She played Loretta Lynn after.
I always think of her as that half retarded chick on Carrie? A Straight Story.
Oh yeah, or the blood soaked degenerate. Yeah. Not degenerate, but a socially awkward girl who had her period in the shower and freaked out.
Did you see A Straight Story? That was a David Lynch movie.
I will have to check that out.
It was with.
Is it about people who aren't gay?
It's a weird movie.
Is it straight up?
Yeah, it is straight up.
Straight up.
It's a straight up story. I'll tell you what the whole thing is.
Well,
because.
Okay. Go ahead. Tell me.
The guy is old, right? He can't see. Can't get a driver's license because of his eyes. And brother lives like 300 miles away or something like that. And he heard his brother had a heart attack or something.
Okay.
And he can't drive.
55.
So he just jumps on his tractor and drives there.
You can't get a ticket for that?
Yep.
That's smart.
And so the whole thing is about his traveling. He's driving on this tractor and it's a David Lynch Disney movie.
That's why I got a ride in mower.
Mm-hmm.
Because I lost my license.
Yeah. No,
just kidding.
I can't drive now. I got a lawnmower.
I drove my John Deere to Coos Bay last night just for a comedy show. Gets great gas mileage. Takes a long time to get there.
A lot of it was just side shots of him like driving along the side of the road and cars passing him or him going up a hill.
He's fucking mowing the lawn.
It had a good lead actor too, but his daughter was Sissy Spacek, and she wasn't altogether there, but she was kind of there, and she played a funny part.
Sissy spaced out.
Yeah, it was a funny fucking part. What was it called? A story.
A straight story.
A straight story.
Did it show her boobs?
I don't think so. It was a Disney movie.
I saw Chloe Sevigny's boobs last night.
Jane Galloway Heights and Joseph A. Carpenter were there.
Both of them. I saw both of her boobs.
Oh, yeah? Whose boobs did you see?
Chloe Sevigny.
Oh, yeah.
She's kind of hot in a weird kind of weird-looking way.
Mm-hmm.
She was in that show we were talking about a second ago. A few minutes ago. Big Love. She was in Big Love. She's in Portlandia almost every episode, too.
Yeah. What do you think about, just real quick, Richard Farnsworth?
Don't forget to watch Portlandia last night.
Here's a quote from the movie. Dorothy says, "Hi, Rose," and Rose says, "Hi, Dorothy."
Okay.
That's a quote.
That's a good quote, dude. That should be on the movie poster.
Yeah. Yeah. He was nominated for Best Actor in the Leading Role. Oldest ever to be nominated in that movie at 79.
Wow.
That's how old he was when he was driving that tractor across the world.
I heard when he's like in his 60s, he was nominated for the Best Cinnamon Roll. Leading Cinnamon Roll. Ah.
Dude, my favorite cinnamon roll is Kroll.
Kroll Show. The cinnamon
from
Kroll.
1983. Remember that? He had that fucking star, the fish that he had, and it had blades on it, and he threw it. And it had that guy with the cyclops on there and the blind wizard guy.
I thought you were going to say a kriller. It's like a donut, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But now they got these things called cronuts.
What?
Yeah, I saw them on Tom Green.
No, I don't want to see any cronuts.
It looked good, dude.
I bet.
Watched Tom Green eat it, and it looked delicious. It was a cronut. You get them in L.A., so they'll be up here in like 5 years.
What do you think about Fred Armisen's new gig?
Well, he's doing Portlandia. Well, they're probably done filming. What's his new gig?
His new gig, dude, is huge. His new gig is huge. Did you know he's the band leader of the Seth Meyers show?
Does he play the drums on there or just lead the band?
I think he just leads the band. He was holding a guitar when I watched it the first night.
I guess he probably doesn't.
It kind of looks uncomfortable watching that show.
I haven't seen it
yet. You know, you got your monologue where you're standing up there, and he's got the jokes, you know, I mean, topical jokes, that's what they do at late night, and, you know, that's what he did at Weekend Update, that's all it is, but it's not behind a desk. Mm-hmm. You know, I think naturally he'd probably have some jitters switching to that kind of a thing.
Sure.
You know, and so, but it's only been on for 3 nights, but his last Saturday Night Live gig was on the 1st of February. So it hasn't even been a month. Nope. No, so just
bam, right into it.
Yep. I think there's probably, you know, I'd probably feel pressure in that situation.
Well, you got to start slow and build.
Fucking A, you just got to get out there and do it, you know. There'll be another show tomorrow night.
That's right. Tomorrow Night Live.
Yep. So I don't know. You know, he had some weird guests on. I can't remember who. Kanye West.
I don't like that guy. I don't know why I would, but I don't. He's just an idiot.
And, you know, the Tonight Show, I didn't realize this, but they moved it back to New York.
Yeah, I heard that. Jimmy Fallon was kind of stoked about that.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy Fallon. I watched that. I watched his last show.
That's how,
because it was on autoplay.
That's how he got that gig. He just kind of fell into it.
And he had Buckwheat on there. Buckwheat Zydeco.
Ooh.
And he was doing a song with him. And Fallon was playing guitar. And
did Questlove and the band get to go with him? Because we got the same house band at the Tonight Show?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. They didn't bring back.
But isn't that Fred Armisen, man?
I knew he'd been in bands and that he did bands before he. It's weird. The more
he was a drummer.
The more comics I meet, that were musicians that are still musicians, but they're just switching
not
over.
Really.
Yeah, or I guess you'd say a failed musician.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't make the big time playing music, but maybe I'll make it big doing comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I don't really consider.
Or as we've said before,
musician.
You know, it's hard to find four people that can put everything aside and
so much
just
easier.
To go follow one dream.
So much easier just to grab a mic and say, can I do the gig? I do have to ask my wife sometimes, we got anything going on, but, you know, for the most part, I can just say, my calendar, boom, nope, I'm open. And I don't have to bring a bunch of gear, paid way more than playing a gig. It's amazing. But, anyway, yeah. That's what people do, I guess.
I watched, speaking of stand-upians, if you go to Huffington Post, sometimes they have guys that write, comedians write stuff. But Patton Oswalt
wrote him.
A piece on 20 years after Bill Hicks dead.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a foreword for a book that hadn't been published that was about Bill Hicks. And he pretty much kind of just ranted about how Lenny Bruce never made him laugh.
Well, I agree.
Anyway, but it was kind of just like, it wasn't just about Hicks, but it was kind of like about all of comedy. It was an interesting read to talk about how material can become dated, because that was his whole point about Lenny Bruce, was he understood. He understood what Lenny Bruce was and how the times were when he was saying what he was, you know, and how important he was to society, but you never made him laugh.
Right.
You know. And
made you think.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could resonate with you.
And then he said, and I got people that say that they laughed during Lenny Bruce's stuff, and I'm just going to say they're fucking lying.
Well, you got to think, man. That's a great statement, but comedy is subjective.
Humor
is subjective, and one person might not think that something's funny, whereas the person right next to you could think that's the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, but it was a good article to seek out.
Right on. Where is that found?
Huffington Post, I think it was.
Okay.
Or you could just type in Patton Oswalt.
You ever heard of a comedian named Chris Porter?
Sounds familiar.
He was a finalist a few years back on Last Comedian Standing, and anyway, he's got a new special on Netflix. Really funny. I thought it was pretty funny. And also watched the new Nick Thune special, which was awesome. He's from Seattle originally, and he's one of those guys that plays the guitar. He doesn't really play a song. He just kind of strums chords and stuff while he tells his jokes. And he got a great Nirvana joke. He's like, I'm from Seattle, so I feel like I need to talk about Nirvana for just a second. And then he just goes, never mind. And he goes, that is the greatest Nirvana joke on the market today. I got a Nirvana joke, and you don't hear a lot of Nirvana jokes. But he said he Googled it, and it's proof now because it came up of a tweet posted saying that that joke was the best Nirvana joke on the market. So I'm challenging you, Nick Thune.
Ooh, a challenge.
Yeah, my Nirvana joke got laughs even at the tough crowd. Tough Crowd Wednesday. All right, well, shit, we better wrap this up. We've already went an hour and a half. This is awesome because we don't usually go this long, but we got a little leisure today. We had some leisure and bringing you an extra long show for Friday. And don't forget, if you're not doing nothing tomorrow night on Saturday night, you don't want to sit home, just go to Eugene to the Wetlands. It's a great bar there on 9th and Garfield. Comedian Don Frost will be in Eugene along with Mac Chase, Marcus Bridges, your host Drew Tideman, and another dude I'm not familiar with, but I bet he's funny. His name's Chris Green, and that's all going down there at the Wetlands, which is a great little, they got a back room that holds about 80 to 100 people. It's away from the bar scene, which is awesome for comedy, so go check that out. Also, stick around after the episode because we'll have the normal plugs. And other than that, what do you got? Anything else you want to say before we get any? What'd you learn today,
George? Yeah. By the time Bill Hicks started doing stand-up comedy, the form itself had calcified into the comfortable brick wall and two-drink minimum that you saw on all basic cable of all of the 80s.
Yeah, I recently rewatched that documentary about Bill Hicks.
Lenny Bruce and Carlin had already done all the language play, wordplay.
Yeah.
And even Cosby realized to his horror that his opening the door for comedians who just happened to be black created a generation of comedians who only talked about being black.
Yeah. That black guy that I did that show with, he did a little bit of racist humor against his own race, which is just always weird to me.
Yeah.
It's like, I can make jokes about it because I am one.
And Steve Martin's meta-commentary on smarmy, shallow comedians created a new breed of smarmy, shallow comedians.
Well, that's what you get, dude.
Yep. If you, that'd be kind of frustrating, though, wouldn't it? Like, you're just mocking it the whole time, and then everybody follows you.
And you're like, hey, I hate this, and so, like, a bunch of people become that.
Yeah.
It's just, like, what, for spite? I don't know why. Yeah, don't forget about our sponsors, Pizza Now.
Yum,
they
yum.
Got some good stuff, and it's coming up. The first of the month is on Saturday. They'll have a new pizza unveiling, so a short limited time on the triple beef and cheddar cheese whiz pizza, which I haven't tried yet, but I might sometime before the month comes up. I don't know. Check them out. They're down there at the corner of Queen and Hill, I think.
They should sell a little mini one of those so you could like test it out for like a $5. Just sell a slice or something.
Yeah. Also,
we could make round, but just make it like 6 inches across or something.
Yeah. If you listen on iTunes, give us a rate or review us, give us some stars or whatever. You can also hear us on Stitcher and TuneIn. And go to our website, tagcastpodcast.com. Go searching around there. There's all kinds of weird things. And
donate something to us.
Listen to the old episodes. Click on the donate icon. Go shopping at Amazon. There's a thing on the left there that says Amazon. It'll take you right there to the Amazon site, and you do your shopping just as normal.
Blammo.
You don't get charged anything extra, and we just get to be on the air a little bit or whatever we're on. We get to be on drugs longer.
Yeah.
That's what they call the internet shows now. It doesn't go over the air. It's on drugs.
That's how they should do it.
Yep. This is the Civil War on drugs. If you haven't checked that out, too, listeners, check out Whitest Kids You Know, The Civil War on Drugs. I believe on YouTube you can get the full 1 hour and 30-minute movie, which was like 10 9-minute clips from the series, which it sucks when you got to go to each series and just watch the last 9 minutes of it to watch a full movie. It's very awesome. It's about the Civil War on Drugs.
I recently learned about a war that was 335 years old.
I recently
fought for 335 years.
That's longer than the
Hundred nobody
Year War.
Died.
That's longer than the Hundred Year War.
I know.
And I thought that was
true. It was a war in somewhere up near England and the Dutch or something like that. Some guy just declared war, and they forgot to undeclare war because they weren't really successful. They just happened to not undeclare war, so there wasn't a treaty. They were at war from 16 something to 1986. 1986, they finally signed a treaty, but nobody died. They forgot that they were fighting.
See, that's
until some guy went digging.
That's when I graduated. That's why they finally signed the treaty.
Because
I graduated from high school.
The Treaty of Terrigal.
And you know, one of the most recent, longest wars that's been going on for almost 42 years now? The war inside my head. I recently watched a Suicidal Tendencies concert. from the Roskilde Festival. It was very enjoyable, and they did that song, War Inside My Head, Suicidal, coming soon with Slayer and Exodus to Portland.
Wow, the Hot Topic Tour.
Exactly. All right, you guys have a great Friday. We hope to see you at the comedy show tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to go down and see Don Frost tomorrow. Maybe you can come see me down there.
Mm-hmm. You'd probably hear him if you just went out on the porch.
Oh, he'll be yelling. I go to Walmart, I get helped. All right, you guys, thanks for listening on a Friday. We'll see you Monday morning.
Yep, rock on.
And metal. Hey, all you taggots. That's what we call you. Thanks for listening, and we're going to tell you some shows coming up now that you should probably go and see or go be on, because we've got some open mics here. If you should try your hand at open comedy, open mic comedy. Every other Monday night at Taylor's Bar and Grill in Eugene, 13th and Kincaid, it's the Donk Gong Comedy Show with the guys from K-Fly Radio. If you're not funny, they'll gong you, and that's always fun. Or you can go up to Salem on Tuesdays, every Tuesday at 8 p.m. at the Capital City Theater with your host, Jared Richard. It's $5 to get in unless you're performing, and then it's free, and it's a great little venue for comedy. It's awesome. Every Wednesday at the Tiny Tavern, 4th and Blair in Eugene, it's 9:30 with Mac Chase. He also does the Friday Kush Cafe open mic in Eugene at 1235 Railroad Boulevard. That's at 9:30 for signups, 10 o'clock show. And every Thursday at the Green Room right next to Doc's Pad at 710 Willamette, you got the Green Room open mic every Thursday at 8 o'clock. So there's plenty of opportunities for you to go and do comedy. We're going to have an open mic after the show this Friday on the 28th at Denny's Lounge in Albany. They're on Spicer right off the freeway, off I-5, exit 233. It will be Isaac Paris, Jason Eifler, Daniel Caceres, and myself. And it starts about 9 o'clock, and it's going to be free, or you can, you know, give a $5 donation or something like that, whatever you prefer. March 2nd, Bill Cosby is coming to the Holt Center in Eugene. He's super old, so this will probably be like the last chance you ever get to go see him. And because he is old, it's an early show, 2 p.m. 2 p.m. at the Holt Center, you can go see Bill Cosby at his Jell-O Pudding Pop. Doug Benson's coming to the Wow Hall for the fourth year in a row for the annual 420 show. It's a day late. It's April 21st at the Wow Hall. Doug Benson. Regan also in March, I think, coming to Salem. So we got some top name touring comedians coming to the area. Check out your internet services for that. I had a great list of things here and somehow it got all fucked up, but that's okay. Death Angel is coming this week here to the Hawthorne Theater, Portland. Local band Kingdom Under Fire will be opening the show. Tickets are $16 in advance, $20 at the door. March 17th with Big Business at Hawthorne, $20 and $25 tickets. Carcass is March 30th at the Hawthorne Theater with Black Dahlia Murder, Gorka, a couple other bands. $25 in advance, $28 at the door. In case you had tickets for Loudness, they've canceled their entire tour. Dan Moser's band is not going to open for Loudness now. Roudness. So you can get your refunds there wherever you bought your tickets. May 3rd, Niles coming to the Hawthorne Theater, and our buddies World of Lies are opening that, also with Seasons of Suffering from over there in the Bend area. Tickets are only $13.50 in advance, $15 at the door. If I can find any more. I had some more, but my list got screwed up. I'll be doing, at the end of March, the 28th, we'll have the Denny's Comedy Show every last Friday of the month, so we don't have the lineup scheduled yet because it's quite a ways out. But I think Godflesh is coming to Portland soon, and BB King is coming to Salem. There's all kinds of good stuff going on. So I think Chelsea Peretti at the Hawthorne Theater, Intronaut, Queens of the Stone Age at the Keller Auditorium, already sold out in one day. So lots of good stuff to do. Go do it, you guys. Don't just sit at home. Go enjoy some local and national entertainment. And then when you get home, you can listen to the Terry and Gadge Comedy Show some more at tedcastpodcast.com. Or you can listen to us on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn Radio. Those. Any way you do it, thanks for listening, you guys. We'll talk to you later. Yeah, Queens of the Stone Age.